Just as a matter of interest, how many people were actually here this evening? This evening? It's not going well, is it? How many are here this evening? Yeah, well done, every hand in the house. Okay, how many were here this morning, just as a matter of interest? Okay, so a few people. Okay, that's helpful to know. So basically, we want to start off just by giving you a little bit of a review of what happened, and in particular, the key points as relating to kind of church family life as it relates to you guys. And so one of the first things that we do at the APCM is we elect the wardens. And since he wasn't here this morning, dear Derek, so Derek and Sean are two wonderful wardens who are, I just can't speak highly enough of these guys. They provide us with such wisdom, such insight, and such leadership in the life of the church. And so, Derek, can you stand, please? And can we just honour Derek? If you don't know Derek yet, then make a beeline for him afterwards. He's great. He is Welsh, but we won't hold that against you, Derek. He's absolutely brilliant. So, Derek, we're so glad that you're standing for yet another year, I think is the right way to describe it. But then we also had elections for, or didn't have elections, because we had 5 deanery synod places. For those of you who don't speak Anglican, the deanery synod is the next layer of church governance above the local church level. And so we had 5 places to serve on that level of church leadership. Funnily enough, not all 5 opportunities were taken. Who can believe it? But we did have one person stepping down from serving on Deanery Synod and on PCC, and that's Mel Griffiths. Mel, where are you? Excellent. Mel, please stand up, because we do have a gift for you, as well as to say thank you to you. Mel has been serving on PCC and Deanery Synod for a number of years now. Mel, it's been wonderful to have you on the team. It really has. And in particular, I've always loved your faithful approach to our debates and discussions, that actually you've always been one of those people who's always seen the opportunity rather than the difficulty. And actually, I would say this, I love your heart for evangelism as well. So we will miss you on PCC especially. It's been absolutely wonderful to have you on there. So again, thank you so much for everything that you've done over these years. And so, Deanery Synod, we do have 2 people who have been voted on. Clough Noon, who I don't think is here this evening, is standing, and this is his first time on Deanery Synod. But Val, you were downstairs cooking this morning, so we didn't get a chance to say thank you to you. But Val has again agreed to stand for Deanery Synod. And this is how many years running now? Is this 19? 20? No. I'm going to be in trouble later on. Val, why don't you stand up? Let's say thank you to Val again. Brilliant. So if you want to find out more about what Deanery Synod is and the wonderful world of Deanery Synod, then do speak to Val afterwards. And then we had 2 spaces on our PCC, which is our church council, like church leadership. And those 2 places have been taken by a guy called Adam Marriott, who isn't here because he's away this weekend, and Kevin Stone, who normally comes to this gathering. Kevin, are you here this evening? I haven't actually seen you around. Sorry? He's away for the bank holiday weekend. So anyway, so Kevin is going to be on PCC, which is wonderful. So when you see him next, then do congratulate him as well. But why don't we just take a moment just to pray for all of these guys and for our PCC and church leadership. Lord, I want to say thank you so much to you for all of the people who have offered themselves once again to serve in leadership in this church. Well, thank you so much for Mel and for all that she's given over the years to the PCC and to Deanery Synod. Lord, thank you for her continuing work with Avonmouth and Lawrence Weston, and thank you for her heart for the lost. Lord, thank you for Derek and for Sean as our wardens. Lord, we bless you and we thank you for 2 such amazing wardens. And we thank you so much for Val and for Clough being willing to serve at that deanery level, that next level of church governance. And for Adam and Kevin as well, who are being willing to put themselves forward to serve in leadership in this church. Lord, we thank you so much for each of these individuals. We thank you for all of those others who are continuing to serve at Deanery Synod and also at the church level of PCC. And we pray, Father, for your blessing upon them and upon each one of us as we as a church seek to move forward into all of the things that you've got for us in the future. For we ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Wonderful. Right. I'm going to hand over to the highlight of the evening, which is Mark Parsons coming to give us the financial presentation. So why don't we just welcome Mark as he comes up. There will be an opportunity for questions at the end of this, so please do pay attention and come up with some really difficult ones for him, please.
Thank you, Tim. I'm the only member of staff, as far as I can see, wearing my badge. I need to come in the evening more often. Standards are definitely slipping. Good evening, everyone. One of the things we do at our annual meeting is to give an update on our finances. Our financial year at Christchurch runs from the 1st of January to the 31st of December, so we're looking at 2016. And this is a really difficult thing to do because there's a whole range of sort of needs about finance. Some of you will absolutely love numbers and you'll want to go into the detail. If you do, there's 22 pages of numbers here. You can pick up a copy from the info hub at the back. Some of you will just love to see the headlines. And if that's for you, then there's a copy of the financial report and a summary. You can pick that up from the info hub at the back. These are all emailed out and they're all on our website. If you just want to hear a brief headline of what's been happening over the last year, then that's what I'm going to give you today. But let me start off by saying that we have a wonderful team of people who run our finances at Christchurch. Patrick, who's our treasurer, can't be here tonight, so that's why you've got me. But there are others involved as well. And if this is not enough detail for you and you love numbers, then why don't you come and talk to me at the end? Maybe you'd love to be on our finance team. I'd love to talk to you about that. So, just to give you a quick overview of how finances work at Christchurch, we have four main funds. We have a mission fund. That money is restricted. That means that people give money for a particular purpose, maybe to support a mission partner or in response to a special collection that we do, and we pass that money on. We have the Renew Fund, which is money that we're putting aside for the renewal of our building. We have a Legacy Fund, which is money that has been given in response to money that's been left to us in legacies. And we use that for special purposes. And we have our general fund, our unrestricted general fund. That's our day-to-day fund. It's like our current account. We use that to fund all that goes on in Christchurch. So what are the main items that go into our unrestricted fund? Well, we use it to support the diocese and to pay our clergy through the parish share. We use it to employ our staff and pay their salaries. We use it for all the mission and evangelism that we do here through the church building and out in the community through Christchurch. And we use it for our building and our operations. And 75% of the money that comes into the general fund comes from you, members of the church family, giving through provision and through one-off gifts and also through the gift aid that we claim back on the gifts that we give. So if you give regularly to Christchurch and you are a taxpayer and you haven't yet signed a gift aid declaration, fill in a simple form and every pound you give, the government will give us 25p more. So come and talk to me at the end if that's something that you're interested in. What I want to do is tell you a quick story of what God has been doing in our finances over the last 10 years. There's a slide that's going to come up on the screen. I hope you can see that. If we go back to 2013, you'll see that there is an 83,000 deficit. That's the big bar that's pointing in the downwards direction. Come to 2014, and that had become a £17,000 deficit. In 2015, we saw a £7,000 surplus, and by last year, that surplus was £2,000. Now, deficits are not great, are they? Because it means that we are spending more money than we get in. But surpluses aren't great either, because it means that we have money in the bank that we really should be using for mission and evangelism and for the work of the church. So at Christchurch, we try not to make a massive surplus. We try also not to make a massive deficit. And that graph just tells you in a nutshell the story of God's goodness over the last 5 years in turning around what was quite a difficult situation and in providing in a wonderful way for all we need. We have a good Father, and he's great. So let's look at last year, look at 2016, and here are the headlines from last year. 2016, we saw a 2% increase in our giving compared to 2015. That's fantastic news. As a result, we were able to give £182,000 to the Diocese of Bristol to support our clergy and the other diocesan costs. Last year, our staff salary costs were slightly higher than the previous year because we had a full year of our children's pastor and also a full year of our senior lay pastors. And we were also able to give away £117,000 to support God's work through mission outside the parish and around the world. So now let's look at 2017. That's the column over on the right. And in response to the developing vision that God is giving us here at Christchurch, the PCC have set a faith budget. There's a budget of £638,000. That's an increase of £54,000 compared to 2016. And we sensed as we were praying as a PCC that God was calling us to do two specific things in 2017. The first one was to increase the amount of money that we give to the diocese by £28,000 to support ministry in parishes and to train new clergy. And the second one was to increase our staff costs by £30,000, mainly so that we can appoint a full-time youth worker. And some of you will know that over this weekend we have been interviewing for that post, and we will have the funds to do that. So that's fantastic news. So that's our budget for this year. It's a faith budget. It is looking for an increase in giving of £28,000. And to do this, we have, at the beginning of the year, we launched our annual provision appeal. We're looking to the church family to increase regular giving by £34,000. And the great news is that we're only about £10,000 short of what we need to meet our budget for this year. And so once again, we give thanks to God for that. That's God's goodness. And it's also a good opportunity to remind you that if you have a provision form sitting on the mantelpiece at home that you haven't yet filled in and returned, or if you're not yet a member of provision, if you don't give regularly, but you're a member of our church family and you'd like to do that, then we encourage you to do that. You can do that by going to our website, ccweb.org.uk/giving, or you can speak to me afterwards. So there you go, a nutshell of our finances over the past year. If you want to know more details, talk to me at the end or pick up one of the leaflets off the info hub. Thank you.
Brilliant, Mark. Absolutely brilliant. Does anybody have any questions for Mark? Not a single question. There we go, Mark. Wow, you've done such an amazing job of explaining it. Brilliant. Excellent. Off you go then. Perfect. Well done. Right. Well, Paul's going to come and speak to us now. So as he comes, why don't we just pray for him? Father God, thank you so much for your goodness to us as a church. Lord, thank you that we can see your goodness over so many years. And I just thank you so much for all of the exciting things that are happening in the life of our church. And I pray for Paul now as he speaks to us. Lord, would you bless him? Pour out your spirit upon him, I pray. And Lord, may he excite us and inspire us again this evening. For we ask it in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Good evening, everybody. It's good to see you. So this is the first year that we have rerun, as it were, the annual meeting in the evening. Two reasons for doing that. One is to make sure that as many members of our church family hear both about finance and about vision as possible. And the other thing is so that we could allow our kids team and youth teams who are downstairs during the morning annual meeting to actually come along this evening. Is anybody from our kids team and youth teams here? Why don't you stand up and we'll give you and say thank you to you. If you are new to the Church of England, kids and youth workers only ever sit on the south side of the church. That goes back into the Middle Ages. I can't give you a reason for that. It's just the way it is. So that's why we've done what we've done. And hopefully you'll be interested to hear, just as we reflect on what God has done this year and as we look forward to the year that has come. But I just want to say I'm a man of relatively little ambition. In fact, I've only got two ambitions left in life that I can identify. One is to be a grandfather. No pressure directed anywhere in the room at all. So that's one ambition. And the other ambition is to play tennis on my 80th, which, of course, does disguise a rather larger ambition, which is still to be alive on my 80th. But there we go. But every so often, I allow myself a temporary additional ambition. And this evening, I'd just like you all to be aware that my temporary additional ambition this evening is to get home without knowing the result of the North London Derby. So please do be kind so I can watch that, the highlights a little bit later. Actually, one of the reasons I'm looking forward to being a granddad is just because of the wonderful way that small children's minds work. Unbeknown to us, children spend a great deal of time working things through very logically, very rationally, and then get it precisely wrong. And one of our PCC members, Alex, was telling me that her little girl, Violet, who's three-year-old toddler girl, she said to them the other day, she'd been thinking about this for a while, she said, Mummy and Daddy, I go to mini church on Sunday, don't I? Yes, they said. Well, she said, do boys call it Mickey Church? Isn't that just genius? Absolute genius. I've got another wisdom from a slightly older eight-year-old girl a little bit later to share with you, but that was Violet's idea. So I'm going to read to you this evening and just two short verses from Isaiah 54. The significance of these verses for a growing church and for the sort of vision of growing God's kingdom will be evident to you. So I'm going to read these to you and then just build a few things out of it. So the word of the Lord from Isaiah, enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. For you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. I believe this is both God's word to and a description of Christchurch at the moment. We're being encouraged to prepare for expansion. We're already seeing it. We're seeing new people joining. We're seeing new growth. We're seeing people baptized. We're seeing people come to faith. And we're seeing people join the church family as they move from other parts of the world and the country to settle in Bristol. And it seems to me that this passage coming midway, as it does between Abraham and Jesus, roughly speaking, it sort of goes back to what Abraham was promised by God. God said to Abraham that he would receive three things: people, territory, and influence. Now, we have to be careful when we use language like that, because our world is very interested in gathering followers. Our world is interested in territory and the political tensions around that. And our world often seeks influence. And we need to remember that the territory that we're talking about is God's kingdom expanding. The people we're talking about is people coming to faith as culture has shifted. And the influence that the church, the people of God, has is the influence to bless. That's how we gain influence. It's not influence of power over, but it's the influence of servant hearts with humility going out into the places where God has set us and seeking to be a blessing. And those three things are the three key promises to Abraham: people, territory, and influence through blessing. And towards the end of his ministry, Jesus himself said to his disciples, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, people and territory, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. We're understanding more and more about our identity and calling under God to see expansion. Not because we think a great deal of ourselves, but we think everything of Jesus. And we think actually that he is worthy the church expanding so that more people come into that extraordinary experience. I don't know about you earlier, I want to say a little bit more about this maybe in a few moments, and maybe not all of us were, and that's absolutely fine, but I find that song about the robe and the ring and the arms of God flung around me profoundly moving. And it's my longing for people who don't yet know who they are to come into God's kingdom and to be ringed and robed and embraced by a waiting Father. We're already seeing growth in our church life, and I just want to give three examples from very different parts of our church family, very different ages. Firstly, Trailblazers, which is our 9 and 10-year-olds, have had to leave Linden Gate, where they've been meeting for the past few years, and we now rent space in Christchurch Primary so that they've got more space for their activities. And when you've got 16 boys in that age group rattling around Linden Gate, A, it needs redecorating quite regularly, but it you just need more space, and so now Christchurch Primary needs decorating more regularly, and that's fine. Secondly, 20s and 30s, which happens on a Tuesday evening, and for many years happened downstairs, again, because the expansion, the multiplying number of groups is now meeting upstairs, and they'd love to see you, particularly if you are 20s and 30s, but if you're as aged as me, you're welcome as an occasional visitor to see what God is doing, and they'd love to welcome you in. And then our midweek gathering, which happens on a Wednesday morning at 11 o'clock and is predominantly an older congregation. It's one of our more traditional expressions of what it means to be church. And that too is growing. And it's an extraordinary joy. And our vision is to see that service grow to Sunday size. There's absolutely no reason why it shouldn't, particularly in the demographic of Clifton, where we have people who could be attracted to that. So it's three little examples. And as I think some of you may or may not know, in that midweek service, we're blessed as a church family. I'd love to actually work out if we have any years missing. So our youngest member is just a matter of 2 weeks or so old now. And then Joyce celebrated 101st a couple of months ago. I mean, that's awesome. And she was here at the midweek, and she wore the birthday hat, and we sang a happy birthday, and it was absolutely fantastic. And more or less, I think we've got somebody representing every age from a couple of weeks through to 101. God is very good. So people, territory, influence. Let me just give you a few headlines. This weekend has been quite a demanding one for those of us on three panels that have been interviewing three candidates for the youth post here. And that began on Friday afternoon. Chris and I had individual meetings with each candidate. On Friday evening, they came to meeting point, and they each did a little presentation and then mingled with the team and the kids. And then yesterday, a day of interviews, and this morning they were at Pathfinders. One of the members of the panel was Sian. We've mentioned her earlier. She's one of our church wardens. And her 8-year-old daughter, Scarlett, thought that she ought to put some decent questions that the panels might like to ask the youth pastor. I'm just going to read these out. 5 questions from 8-year-old Scarlett for the youth pastors. Do you believe in God? Number 1. Do you believe Jesus rose from the dead? Number 2. Are you good at looking after kids? Number 3. 4. Are you good at playing games? And my favorite 5. Do you know how to make stuff? Isn't that just great? Fantastic questions for our youth pastor. We were blown away to have 11 applications for the role, which is, if you know anything about church today and youth work, that's quite an extraordinary number. And we had an incredibly strong shortlist. Please do pray for those of us on the panel. We have 3 panels. We always have 2 at minimum. We have a panel that looks at competence. We have a panel that looks at character. And for the youth pastor role, we had a 3rd panel comprised of 4 young people, Dennis and Dom and Taya and Elizabeth, who comprised a 3rd panel to interview them. I just want to say a huge vote of thanks, because we've been living and journeying as a church family without a full-time youth pastor for a while. I wonder if Kate or any of the youth team are here tonight. If you are, please stand up. Val is here. Chris, Julia, fantastic. Chris oversees the whole thing. Morag's at the back. And Kate has been taking a lead in that ministry for quite a while now. We thanked her this morning, but just want to say thank you to our youth teams who've not just held the fort, but developed that ministry. So can we give them a round of applause, please? Thank you. I also mentioned this morning, I'm not sure whether she's here this evening, Emily Shannon, and any members of the Pathfinders team. Pathfinders team's here? Yep, come on, stand up. Stand up. Fantastic. Great. Fantastic. Thank you. When we think of people and growth in terms of people, we need to remind ourselves constantly again that one of the heartbeats of any church is seeing individuals won for Jesus, individuals coming to saving faith in him. And that begins with praying for people. And we're going to just think a little bit later this month about how we might commit ourselves as a church, as individuals, as small groups, as ministry teams, to pray specifically for individuals we know to come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. The Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, has issued a call to the worldwide church to set aside and dedicate themselves for 11 days of prayer from Ascension Day, which is on the 25th of May, that's right, through to Pentecost Sunday, which is the 4th of June. And between those periods, all churches are being invited and encouraged to commit themselves to how they're going to pray for friends, neighbours, colleagues, family members who need to know Jesus. On a recent conference day, we had a little definition of evangelism, which Ian is going to pop on the screens. Evangelism is when someone knows more of Jesus when they leave you than when they met you. Now, I know there's more to evangelism than that, but I think that's not a bad place to start, because it reminds us that evangelism happens by the way we live, the type of people we are. It reminds us that that could be a relationship that has lasted years. It could be a moment on a train or at the checkout. But that's not a bad standard to aim for. That as we go into this week, the encounters we have, the people we meet, we pray by God's Spirit that those people will know more of Jesus when they leave us than when they met us. Because that's what God wants to do through us. So let's watch Justin Welby as he makes his appeal to us and the worldwide church to pray during this initiative that's called Thy Kingdom Come.
There's a lot about this job that stops you getting too self-important. I remember being at some event. One of my colleagues heard someone in the crowd whisper, "Isn't that the Archbishop of Canterbury over there?" And the person's friend hissed back, "Nah, too short." When I meet Jesus Christ at the judgment, I know one thing. He isn't going to care what size of archbishop I was, or I think whether I was an archbishop. What matters is that I loved him and sought to follow him, and above all, that I trusted in him alone for my life and my future. Because the most important thing I've ever done is to become a follower of Jesus. I took my first steps with him about 42 years ago. Over those years, he's been a faithful friend, a sovereign Lord, compassionate, forgiving, my ever-present saviour. Everything in my life, the heart and foundation of all I am. Through the hardest and most painful times, and in the best and most joyful times of my life, Jesus has walked alongside me. He's never left, even when I've wanted him to. When I felt ready to give up hope, he picked me up, and it's his love that has healed me and strengthened me. Following Jesus has been the core point of my life, and that's one reason I want everyone to hear his voice calling to them, and to learn what it is to find his love, his call, his direction, his purpose. That's why I'm pledging to pray for more people to know the life-transforming love of Jesus Christ. And that's why I'm asking you, along with every Christian community around the world, to join me in pledging to pray as part of Thy Kingdom Come.
I think the closest I get to the Archbishop of Canterbury is that I too took my first steps in following Jesus 42 years ago this year. It's rather scary. In your little annual report, the work of Nick and the brilliant office team and others who've compiled that report on our church year, you'll find one of these flyers. I really don't want to find any of these lying around church later. I very rarely say something like that, but I want this bit of paper to mean something. We will put things on between Ascension Day and Pentecost. We will have things to which you can come, and we'll tell you more about those in the next couple of weeks. But actually, so much of this depends on how you're going to respond. You can visit the website. You can have a look at the global map and see the pinpricks of light where people are signing up to pray in this way. You might decide, if you're part of a small group, to use that 11-day period between Ascension and Pentecost to prayer walk around the area you live. you may decide to join with friends in praying daily for each other's friends to become a Christian. You can download and you can send off for all sorts of materials, of course, with something like this. You can get one of these little bits of leather in which you can tie 5 knots just to think of maybe one person from 5 spheres of your life and remember to pray for them and carry that with you. Ruthie and the kids team are going to be looking about how they can incorporate that in the kids and youth ministry and so on. So we will be saying more about this, but the key thing is this is going to have an impact if you do something with this bit of paper in response. We've been saying for many years that people around the world, church leaders, are talking about God doing a new thing, about standing on the cusp of a season where there's going to be a fresh wind of God's Spirit and a fresh reviving of the church. And Archbishop Justin is saying exactly the same thing. He feels this is a time of significance and we need to step into that. So let me encourage you to do that. I think about a week ago we did advertise there would be a prayer meeting on the 8th of May, that's a week tomorrow. That is now not going to happen because of the events we'll be organising during that 11-day period, and we'll be sending out an email in the usual way to just make sure of that. For some of the things that we're going to organise, and particularly our Sunday gatherings on the 28th of May and the 4th of June, we would love to have some testimony of answered prayer. And I know that there is testimony of answered prayer right in front of me now. And I would love to hear from you, not just testimony of answered prayer. We'd love to hear if you've got any ideas for things we could do to pray together as a church family during that period. Please do come and discuss your ideas with us. Okay, just a few more things to pick up on and then to draw to a close. Renew, which is the name we give to the process of transforming this building, which is the most extraordinary space but needs modernization. Phase one is now complete. The Spire Coffee Shop exists. And I just want to thank those who made that happen. I'm not sure how many of them will be here again this morning. Most of them were there in the morning. But if any of you are here, John Barrett, Janet Lee, Jan Tyrrell, Mark Orris, I know he's here because he was up here, unless he's gone home because he had no questions to answer. Is he still here? He is. That would have been embarrassing, actually, if he had gone home, wouldn't it? No, it isn't. Oh, man. Okay, I just hit an even more embarrassing note. Never mind. Gay Sawyer, David Troughton, David Daniels, Carrie Howard, Hannah Bottom, and all our barista volunteers. Is anybody from that group here? Mark, you can stand because you did have a great deal to do with it. Anybody else who is here? Hannah's here, who's our present interim coffee shop manager. And Mark, anybody else who is on that team? Ah, Ryan is a barista. Fantastic. Thank you very much indeed. If you want to know what the wonderful thing of opening this building to our community, to tourists from around the world, then have a word with Ryan or with Hannah, and they'd love to talk to you about the openings that are there for voluntary service. So that is phase one, and we're going to be talking to our leadership over the next few weeks about phase two, which we believe will be the underneath part of our church building, restoring the crypt, refurbishing that, and we're going to take some plans to the PCC. We'll be talking about that with you as a congregation, in due course. I won't say when, because I always get told off if I put a date to it. I was just checking Mark Parsons' Oris, And I got the look that I can't say a date, because I always want things to be sooner than they can be. But we'll be talking with you about that soon. One of the most significant things we did in the past year was to reorganize Sundays. We moved to a pattern of having the 8, the 10, and the 5. And it seems to us that that's going really well, not least because of the intentionality with which we are pursuing the presence of Jesus in each of our gatherings, including the midweek. We are seeing across every single gathering an increased hunger. So the midweek service, when it began, didn't have as easy, perhaps if I can say this, relationship with prayer ministry. And now that has grown and is growing, and people across our gatherings are increasingly hungry for the presence and for the touch of God. And I love, over the period of my ordained ministry, seeing what God is doing through sung worship. I've known for years how significant it is. When I was a child, growing up with my father, a vicar, I couldn't really have told you what the sung worship was for, really. I don't think I could have done. I don't think that was just being young, because that continued as I grew. And I've seen the role of sung worship develop into a medium by which God prepares the hearts of people to receive his word. And now it's gone and developed into a place where God is moving and ministering his spirit in power as we sing in worship. And I know that sense of prophetic singing that is beginning to develop. We heard some of it this evening. As God, as it were, we're familiar, many of us, with the idea of the prophetic, that God speaks to us for one another. We've got a marvelous story that's going to accompany something Erica's going to share with us in a moment. Just a fantastic little prophetic confirmation of something. And that is now beginning to happen in the singing. And so when the band lead us into maybe quite a lengthy repetition, which might be unfamiliar, I have faith now that that is God himself singing prophetically over us, if that makes sense. And absolutely agree with Chris that this evening that was there because there are people in the room who need to know they're called home to be with God. We've been living with our new pattern for several months now, and so we would like to review how it's going, because we think it's going good. But until you tell us how it's going, we won't really know. So you can pick up, if you want, a hard copy. There's a different color for every gathering, so if you attend more than one, you can fill in more than one. These will be emailed out for every gathering, so if you're on our email, you will get them this week. And we'd invite you to bring those back over the next couple of weeks. That's very simple. And the final question is, what do you see God doing? And we'd like you to pray about that. We'd like you to respond with your stories and understanding of what God is doing in and through the Christchurch family. Okay, Erica, do come forward. Let's give Erica a welcome to the front. Now, many of you here will know Erica. Erica has been a member of our clergy team for the last few years. She carries Bishop Mike's license as pastor for the arts, not just here in Christchurch, but also throughout the diocese. And Erica's got some exciting news to share with the church family today. She did so at the 10. And I would like to lead into the little confirmatory prophetic word at the end. Is that okay?
So you want to say something? You want to say
I want to add, well, I want you to say it, but I want to introduce it.
Oh, okay.
Good. It's okay. Nobody was listening to that bit, so it'll be a surprise.
Okay, okay. Well, hello, everyone. It's just to say that since last September, I've been sensing the Lord calling me to serve artists and creatives across the city in a new way. And I'm grateful to Paul because he's given me the space and time to listen to God and to pursue this to a conclusion. We know that part of our vision for our church family is to see the church move out. And it's also to serve the city and to be a resource center. And God's call to me really resonates with that. And so we're going to set up a Christchurch fresh expression of church for artists and creatives. You might say, well, Erica, what on earth is a fresh expression of church? Well,
why don't we all say that? Erica, so what is a fresh expression of church?
I'll tell you. First of all, it's a national movement, and it's found in the Anglican Church and also other denominations. It intentionally forms church and seeks to serve a particular people group in ways that are accessible to them. It exists outside the traditional structures of the church, so for instance outside the church walls, but it bears the hallmarks of church, which is worship, discipleship and mission. So this ministry is going to dovetail with my work in the diocese, and also my work as facilitator for the Artsphere, which is an ecumenical ministry under the umbrella of Together for Bristol. Sorry, churches together for Bristol. We're going to meet, and I'll be talking a bit more about this in a second, but we're going to meet monthly and weekly in various venues. And we've also got other contexts where we're going to meet for discipleship. And our mission is going to centre around a newly formed company called Three Crowns, which is the Diocesan Performing Arts Company and also a visual arts mobile gallery, which is really, really great. I just want to say thank you for sort of enabling me to share this tonight, Paul. If you've got any questions, please do come to me afterwards or message me or whatever. We're still going to be around, Richard and I. I'll be around about monthly, because I'm not going to miss out on the worship and the teaching at Christchurch. Chris, the worship tonight was completely and utterly fantastic. My wonderful husband over there, he's still going to be around as a member of the worship band, and he's one of our safeguarding officers. And basically, our hope and our prayer is that this first Christchurch fresh expression will prepare the way for other fresh expressions serving other people's groups. Yeah, and you want to introduce
them? Well, you keep the microphone. Yeah, oh, yeah. I do. Well, it's just amazing. One of the things I love is the way that God can just draw so many things together. So some people, old Christchurch members will remember a family called Bewley and Colette, and some of you won't, and they went with our church plant 5 years ago to Barts. And Colette has had this vision for the last 4 years of a barge, which is down on, where is it actually?
Temple Quay,
set aside for the Lord's purposes. So what Erica didn't tell me this morning was that recently Colette had said she felt the Lord was asking her to give the barge for the core team, this Fresh Expression core team monthly meeting. And then what happened this morning, Erica?
Well, Mayen, who's on the prayer ministry team, came up to me, because I just met up with Colette last week, and we've been praying about it, and we've been talking about, you know, who's going to meet where and et cetera. And Mayen came up to me. She said, "Erica, she was a little bit hesitant to say what she was about to say to me. And she said, I don't know how this fits at all with what you've just said," she said, "but I just see this boat floating on the water." So it's just such a confirmation of what God is doing. I mean, she could have absolutely no way of knowing. No. Yeah.
Fantastic. So what I'd love us to do is just to gather around Erica and to pray for her, as we do. Those of you who are regular members here will get what we do. And if you're on the staff team, or if you're connected with Erica through the creative arts, have we got any other members of the core team?
We've got one. We've also got my husband's here.
Richard, yes. Well, he's going to come up anyway.
And so, Ash is here tonight.
So Ash is going to come forward. So let's get Richard and Ash to come forward, and let's just stand up. And then we'll gather around. Anybody who is connected either with the creative arts or who knows Erica, members of the staff team, even if you don't have your badge on tonight, staff, do feel free to gather around. Have we got a microphone in case anybody else wants to just speak over Erica and the team? So do stretch out a hand if you want to speak into the microphone.
Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for Erica and Richard and all of those who have such a heart for the creative arts, for seeing ways of engaging people in new and fresh expressions. And Lord, we just want your hand now to be touching them. Let your love fall upon them. Let the Spirit come and fill them afresh and anew as they head out into something that is so different. Lord, we know you've gone ahead of them because you've been showing them the way forward. But particularly, Lord, we just want to thank you today for that confirmation you've given of a place for them to dwell, for them to be. So, Lord, we ask your blessing on Erica and all of those who are going with them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord God, we remember that in Scripture, the first expression of who you are is creation. Mm-hmm. And Lord, there are so many people in our world who bear that particular image in different ways and yet are so often alienated from the church. And Lord, that is just something to break the heart. And Lord, we thank you that as a church, you are calling us to be generous. You are calling us to give. You are calling us to step out in ways that are not absolutely clear, but we know you're calling us. And we rejoice in the privilege of serving you in this way, of supporting Erica and Ash, Richard and other members of the core team as they just take steps out of the boat, even though they're going to be stepping into a boat. And Lord, we pray that by your Spirit, the same Spirit that hovered over the waters of creation, the same Spirit that is recorded as investing Bezalel with the creative talent needed for the work on the tabernacle in the desert, we pray that this fresh expression will be a home. Just as we were singing earlier, may creatives and artists hear the creative call of their Heavenly Father, who waits to paint a ring on each finger, who waits to drape a robe around each shoulder, who waits to wrap arms around them. May the creatives of this city and beyond discover once again how deeply loved they are by God. So we pray that this new venture will just know your prospering and your leading in the days, the weeks, the months, and the years ahead. And all the Lord's people agreed and said together in a loud voice, Amen. Amen. Do talk to these wonderful people if you'd like to know more at the end, but let's give them a round of applause.
Wonderful. Thank you, Paul. Does anybody have any questions for Paul? This is our opportunity to grill the vicar, ask him any question we want to about kind of church life. So does anybody have any questions? There we go. That was a result as well, wasn't it? Perfect. Excellent. Great. Okay, so we're kind of coming to the end of our time together, but it's, as usual, we'll have a soft end to things that are going to happen. So, band, perhaps you could come up. It'd be great for us to spend a bit more time in worship. There's tea and coffee, which will be available at the back in a few moments as well. But I was just thinking about kind of some of the stuff that God's been kind of doing. And I think in particular, just that call for that there's healing in the house this evening. If you're here and you would value some prayer for healing this evening, then please do come forward. They've got friends on the ministry team who'd love to pray with you this evening. But also thinking about Rebecca's word as well, that word about breakthrough, about breaking through from the grey and kind of drizzle and then breaking through and seeing the sunshine and that sense of kind of needing a breakthrough. If you're here this evening and you need that breakthrough as well, then we'd be privileged to stand with you in prayer this evening. So why don't we stand? And let's enter back into worship. But if you need to head off now, that's great. It's been great to have you with us this evening. God bless you as you head off and have a great week. But if you would like to receive some prayer ministry, then prayer ministry, perhaps you come forward as we begin to worship again. And then do come forward if you'd like prayer for healing or prayer for that sense of breakthrough.